You know, it's Christmas time, a time when the Christian community celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And there's many topics relating to his birth. But we're going to do a little, maybe something a little bit different today. And we're going to look at a life of a person that was uniquely impacted by this. And that's Joseph. A lot of principles we can take from this man, and one that's usually overlooked a little bit in the Christmas story. And so we're just going to examine some of these things, and I don't really have a text as far as, like, usually I preach straight verses, but this is more of a topical kind of a thing, so I've provided most of the verses for you, so on the screen. So I had Brad read from Matthew this morning, and just to kind of introduce the message. And there's a lot of things we can learn about Joseph, a man that was chosen by God. When you think about it, here's God Almighty. He's going to manifest himself as a baby. He's going to become a baby in the world, a sinful, fallen world that's in need of saving. He's made a promise that all the way back at Adam and Eve, when they fell, and he told Adam and Eve, he said, you know what? Yeah, Satan has come and ruined what was perfect. But there's going to be a Savior born. And yes, Satan's going to bruise his heel, but this Savior is going to crush the serpent's head. And that was the first prophecy. And then the whole rest of the book is about the children of Israel, which was the people that God had chosen to through which the Savior was going to come, and God was going to manifest himself as a person and live a perfect, sinless life to be the appropriate, the one and only acceptable sacrifice for our sin before a holy God. And he was going to come into this world and as a baby, and God had to pick parents for this child. And he picked Mary and Joseph. They were chosen by God to raise his son. And you stop and think about that. If you were only going to have one child, if you knew that, and you were not going to be able to raise this child yourself, and then you were going to go and look at people and say, this is who. I got one shot at this. And this is who's going to raise my child. That's a big deal. I mean, how careful would you be? And what would you look for? What would be the principles? Or what would be the plan? What would you want in two people that we're going to raise your child? That's something to think about. And so the fact that this man was chosen means that God thought very highly of him. And so we got some things we can learn from this great man. And so first we're going to look, so I just called it Consider Joseph. It's just like, because it's always about Mary, right? Always, always, always. And so today we're just going to consider Joseph. And so, first of all, we're going to consider Joseph as an heir. An heir. Joseph knew who he was. And I don't mean that like, I know he knows his name was Joseph, okay? But he was of royal lineage, okay? If all the stuff that had happened to Israel had not happened, if they hadn't have fallen and been taken captive and all those things, Joseph very well could have been king. He was directly descended from David. And we see that in Matthew 1:20. This was in the passage I had Brad read. It says, after he considered these things, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying what? Joseph, son of David. He came from David, the royal lineage. And of course, Jesus, this is partly prophecy, because Jesus was going to be the king. Okay, he had to have come from royal lineage. And so we see that Joseph was the son of David. He was of the line of David. And let me ask you a question. Because Joseph knew who he was. Do you know who you are? And I don't mean that to be funny. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior, do you understand you are child of God? You are adopted into His family. You are an heir. The Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. Look at this. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And that's in Romans. And do we understand our position as God's children?
Yeah.
And that's, amen. Amen. I'm glad you do. And I hope all of us do. But, you know, sometimes we don't act like we're that, do we? Sometimes I think we kind of forget who we are, that we are a joint heir with the Son. And sometimes our speech or our actions, our thought life does not reflect that.
Amen.
And we should be mindful of who we are. It's a great, great thing what God has done. In John, it tells us that we are adopted into His family. We are adopted into the family of God. And as such, when you are adopted, you have all the rights and privileges of the real, if you want to call it the real, the actual son. You're adopted in, your legal standing is the same. And we need to understand that's who we are as brothers and sisters with our Lord Jesus. We are brothers and sisters with Him, and we stand to inherit everything He inherits. We are all part of that. What a marvelous gift, you know, Christmas, a time of gift giving. But to be adopted into the family of God, what a gift. Because we certainly don't deserve it, and we certainly can't earn it and work for it. But when you place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are given that position. It's part of the whole package. What a wonderful thing. And I think so many times we go through life, we're not even thinking that way. We're not even thinking, hey, I'm related to God. I've been adopted into His family. He's my Father. But Joseph knew who he was. He knew he was his son. And we see Joseph as a teacher. Joseph had knowledge that he passed down to Jesus. You know, a lot of times we don't kind of stop and think. Jesus was born just like any of us were, any of our children were. They had to be taught. You know, our kids come into the world, they can't speak, they can't walk, they pretty much make messes and sleep and eat. That's pretty much it. It's kind of what we do, isn't it? We make messes, we sleep and eat, and we have to learn. And Jesus had to be taught. He was taught how to speak, how to walk. We know that Joseph had knowledge and passed it on to him. Look at this. This is in Mark. It says, when the Sabbath came, he, Jesus, began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished. Where did this man get these things, they said. What is this wisdom that has been given to him? And how are these miracles performed by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter? The son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. Aren't his sisters here with us? So they were offended by him. That's Mark chapter 6. But here's the thing for us. What are we teaching our kids? Those of us that have children, those of us that may have children in the future. And if you're past having children, a lot of you have grandchildren. Some of you have great-grandchildren. Any great-greats in here? Oh, great-great. Okay, so generations, right? We still have impact. You know, the Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. You know, we hand things down. And that inheritance isn't just, you know, like your belongings or whatever. It's a spiritual inheritance as well. And Joseph handed these things down. He taught him how to be a carpenter. And I'm sure he taught him about the Word of God. They had the Old Testament. And so that, and we'll see that later on, that Jesus, as a child, was taken by Joseph, you know, to pass over into other, you know, to the church, you know, the synagogues as they were, such as they were. But here's the question for us. Are we taking time to teach our kids, our grandchildren, whoever's in our life, where we have opportunity? Are we teaching them the practical things and the spiritual things that they need to live in this world? You know what really bugs me is that stupid commercial. And the one lady's there with her son, and he had a flat tire. Have you seen this thing? You know, and she's like, oh, I'm so grateful. Whoever. Got my son home. He had a flat tire. And then the other two kids are standing there by the side of the road. One of them's got this kind of tool, and he goes, is this a luck wrench? Oh, I think so. Hello. I mean, really? You know, they make us look so stupid on these commercials. But you know what? Unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there don't know how to change a tire. Amen. And you ought to know how to change a tire, folks. It's not that hard.
I'm a woman. I know how to do it.
There we go. There we go. But we need to hand down knowledge. You know what I mean? Practical knowledge. And there's practical things that we need to live in this world, like, you know, balance a checkbook, like, you know, turn off the light, you know. How many? I mean, I can't even, you know, there's a lot of things. But anyway, but then not only that, but the spiritual things. You know, we got to get along in this world in a practical sense, but we got to learn to get along in this world in a spiritual sense. And Joseph handed those things down to Jesus. I would have liked to have had something Jesus made. I wonder how good that table was. You know what I mean? I mean, here's like God building a table or a chair or, you know, whatever they built back then. Man, I bet he did good work. And you know what? We should teach our kids, our grandkids, to do good work. Not just the practical things, but the spiritual things as well. Teach them about love. Teach them about integrity. Teach them about grace and mercy and forgiveness and those type of things. Because those are the things you're going to need in this life. Especially as a child of the King. Teach them who they are. Child, you know, do you lead them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and then teach them what that really means? Who they are. Teach them to have integrity, character, to do what's right. You know what integrity is? It's doing what's right when no one else is looking. You know, it's a lot easier to do right. You know, when people are watching you, well, the right thing to do, you know, there's pressure there, right? You know, like, everybody knows it's wrong, and, you know, if you don't do it this way. But when no one's looking, I remember one time I was working on a dryer, I think it was, and I found a $20 bill in the dryer. It's amazing how much money gets into a dryer. And I pulled it out, and you know, the guy was not there. I mean, he was in the other room. I'm in the laundry room. I pull out a $20 bill. And I have to admit, I thought about it. You know? But then I gave it to him. Because it wasn't mine, it was his.
I do that every day with my husband.
But it's doing what's right when no one else is looking. That's integrity. Knowledge. You know, how well do your kids know the Word of God? How well do you know the Word of God? Those are things we have to ask ourselves. Joseph was a teacher. Now, was he a carpenter? Yes, but he taught. And you know, so many people say, well, that's not my gift. Well, you're not exempt. It's not about a gift. It's about a responsibility. We have a responsibility to our families. And then when God brings other people our way, we have a responsibility to teach them. I teach lots of people in different settings, different things. I do a parenting class at the Rose of Sharon. I do counseling on the side, which is not always crisis counseling. Sometimes it's just mentoring type of things where they're not in a crisis. I'm just sharing. We all need to be doing that. God has used each one of us in unique ways, unique experiences. And you have that information. You have that experience that you had where God worked in your life and He wants you to share it with someone. And if nothing else, we ought to be sharing Jesus Christ with people, right? Missions. Others that need the truth. Joseph as a teacher. Joseph as a person. As a person. Joseph was righteous and kind. Look at this. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, there he's righteous, okay, and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. So what had happened here? Joseph and Mary were engaged. In the Jewish, they call it a betrothal, which is stronger than our engagement. Okay, when we say we're engaged, it's like both people have agreed, okay, we're going to get married. And then we set a date. Okay? But in Israel, when they had a betrothal, they called it, they were married in every way except for the living together part. I mean, it was a done deal. They had just not had the, and when they got married, it was like a week-long celebration. I mean, it was a whole week of basically partying. I mean, they're just partying, and it went day after day after day, and then finally at the end of that, they would consummate the marriage. Okay, and then they began to cohabitate and that kind of thing. So Joseph and Mary were married, okay, in every way except for the living together part. They were still waiting for that time to come. And the Word of God says, you know, if one person or the other is unfaithful in that instance, you can divorce. Okay, which meant Joseph had the right to do that, because why? Mary comes to him one day and says, I'm pregnant. And Joseph's like, it's not mine. Right? I mean, you know, he knew it wasn't his. And it was within his rights to divorce her. I mean, what would you think? Hey, Joseph, I'm pregnant, but I've never been with a man. Yeah, right. Right? I mean, what are you going to say, right? Yeah, right. Yeah, I didn't just fall off the turnip truck yesterday, okay? You had to have been with somebody. And so he was kind, though. He didn't want to make us, because they could make a big deal about it. It was in their law. They could, you know, publicly and all this. But he decided, you know what? Look, she's betrayed me. But I love her. I guess he loved her because he decided, you know what? I'm just going to do this quietly. I don't want to disgrace her. I don't want to heap any guilt or put her up for public ridicule. He was kind and righteous. He was not rash. It says, after he considered these things. See, he took his time. How many times did you just jump to an answer? What? You're pregnant? I divorce you. But he took time. And it says, after he considered these things, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, don't... And then again he says, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what's been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. He was not rash. He was righteous. He was kind. He was considering. He was trying to protect her the best he could. What an example of wisdom and compassion for another person. Are we kind? Do we act rashly?
No.
Do we act with consideration of others? You know, sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. Depends on what it is, isn't it? Some things don't push my buttons as well as others. But Joseph, as a person, was righteous and kind, patient, considerate. What an example for us to be that way as well. Because you never know what God's doing in someone's life, you know? See, he didn't know what was going on with Mary. He didn't know God was involved in that. You know, sometimes we get upset with people, and God is doing something in there. You know, he may be working on them, and he may be working on you through them. You ever think about that? Sometimes we get all caught up with our little thing, and we kind of forget about there's a bigger picture. Joseph was just looking at, I'm getting ready to marry this girl, and she turned up pregnant. And I can't deal with this. So I'm going, you know, he thinks about it. He doesn't deal rashly, but he's made up his mind. I'm not going to consummate this marriage. But there was a bigger picture going on. And that really leads us to the next one, which is Joseph as a believer. Joseph as a believer. And I got five areas under that. Joseph had a relationship with God. Four times in this passage, extending into chapter 2, God communicates with Joseph through dreams. Four times. He says, an angel appeared to him in a dream. That was the verse we just had, saying, Joseph, don't be afraid to take her because she's been conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then later on in that passage in chapter 2, verse 13, the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and says, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt because Herod's going to kill him. And then later on in the same chapter in verse 21 and 22, there's two more dreams where he's told in Egypt, go back to Israel, Herod's gone. And then later on, he gets another dream that says, go to Galilee, go to Nazareth, and live there. And so there's a relationship there. You know, God is appearing to Joseph four times that we know of. There's communication taking place. You know, it's real interesting. You may say, well, man, I'm not communicated with like that. Well, how close are you with God? That's really the question. Are we close to God? James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God. I always thought it should be the other way around. God, you know, he's God. He can draw near to me, and then I'll kind of draw near to him. But no. He says, draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. What is your personal prayer life like? You want to hear from God? Maybe that's something that's not happening. You're like, wow, you know, you always talk about this God and all this. And but let me ask you a question. You want him to talk to you. How much are you talking to him? I was sharing with a young man this last week. A guy called me up, and he's making some big decisions in his life, and he wanted to talk with me. And I was sharing with him about when I was in Peru, and I heard God just as plain in my head as anybody just talking to me when God said, you need to quit your job. And I shared with him with that, and he's like, what? And I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, what'd that sound like, you know? And I said, well, it didn't sound like anything. I didn't actually hear it, but it's him speaking in my mind, and I knew it was him. And the only way that happens is spending time with God. How do you recognize someone when you've heard them enough times, when you've been with them enough, that when they speak, you recognize that that's who it is? You know, Corey came in today, and he goes, you remember me? Corey is the Clark's grandson. And I'm looking at him, and I'm like, I do not know this guy. I do not know who this is. So I just said, no, I don't know who you are. I'm Corey. And I'm like, oh, wow. Because you know what? I hadn't been with him enough to recognize him. It had been a long time, like years. Hadn't seen him for years. When was the last time you really, really sat down with God? And do you make it a habit? Or is it only when you're in trouble? I mean, that's you know, things are going wrong. Oh, God, you know. But what about the good times? Do you recognize him then? When things are going good? Are you with him then?
Trying not to say yes.
Well, I hope so. Praise God. But we have to draw close to him. And you know what? Then he reaches out to you. Now, he's always trying to draw people to himself. But he doesn't twist our arms. He doesn't force us. He just says, come. And you either do or you don't. You either draw near or you don't. But Joseph had a relationship. And you know what? Joseph obeyed God out of that relationship. Every time Joseph obeyed God. So when in all these scriptures are just, it's the same ones that I just gave you previously. You know, when God said, Joseph, don't be afraid to marry this woman. So Joseph married her. God said, Joseph, you need to go to Egypt. Joseph went to Egypt. God said, Joseph, you need to come back from Egypt. Joseph came back from Egypt. God said, hey, you don't need to live here. You need to go to Galilee. You need to go to Nazareth. And Joseph went to Nazareth. He obeyed God. Do we obey? I have a saying. You've heard me say it before. You do what you believe. You know, we do what we believe. If I don't believe that chair will hold me, I won't sit in it. Kind of a stupid example, but you know,
amen.
If I don't believe it, I'm not sitting in that chair. If I don't believe my car will get me to from point A to point B, I'm not going to get in the car. You know, it's just, maybe I would if it was like last resort or something, but, you know, on a general basis, not going to do it. We do what we believe. How many times has God kind of prodded you or urged you or whatever, and you hesitate? We need to understand that when you're close with God, it leads to obedience. You know, if we have a hard time obeying God, I question how close you are with Him. Because one leads to the other. So Joseph had a relationship. He obeyed. He knew God's word. Joseph knew God's word. You know, Joseph was able to verify what God told him by the scriptures. By the scriptures. I got a verse here. It's Isaiah 7:14, because that would be the verse that Joseph had available to him. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. See, the virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. And in the passage, it's verse 23 of Matthew 1. It's just simply a quote of this verse. And it says, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant, give birth to a son. They will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. And so, see, here's the thing. If somebody tells you something pretty incredible and expects you to believe it, and, you know, like you ever get those emails and stuff? Hey, I've got $1 billion set aside for you. You need to. You ever get those? Do you call them up? I hope not. You know, do you answer that email? I hope not, because nobody's sitting around planning on giving you $1 million. I guarantee it. They're planning on getting you to give them some money. Is what it amounts to. But you got to have something to verify. You know, I remember when my wife's uncle was ill, and we were contacted by this agency that said, you know, you can get like $300,000. There's a fund for $300,000 or whatever it was. I don't remember exactly the amounts, but because he had worked in a nuclear power plant at some point and had beryllium disease or some crazy thing like that. And so I remember my wife's dad was going, oh, that's just a scam, whatever, you know. And my wife decided to check it out. And she did. And you know what? It was legit. And they got this money, and that money was used to, like, because we had to get caretakers for them, and we paid them out of that money and all these things. You know, all these things went on. But it seemed like a scam because they wanted the bank account number and, you know, and all this. And my wife checked it out, and it all went through. And you know what? Because when it sounds too good to be true, it probably is, right? But you check it out, and you know, when that angel came to Joseph and said, hey, a virgin's going to conceive. She said she'd never been with anyone. You know, she was conceived of by God. There's a verse that says this is going to happen. I'm sure that helped Joseph out. It's nice when God writes it in His Word, and you can kind of back it up. Joseph knew God's Word. Let me ask you a question. Do you read and study the Word of God regularly?
Yes.
Do you know the Bible? It's important. It's important. It helps you understand and know the voice of God. It helps you understand when something seems too, you know, salvation is too good to be true, isn't it? You mean I don't have to work for it? I don't have to do all these things? I don't have to earn it? I don't have to buy it? I don't have to work? You mean all I have to do is believe in my heart and ask for forgiveness and God will forgive me? Really? It sounds too good to be true, but it is true. It is true. It's the best deal ever. Salvation's free to you, but it wasn't free. Jesus Christ paid for your salvation. And it's all in the Word. It's all in the Word. So Joseph had a relationship. He obeyed God. He knew God's Word. And he led his family to worship. He carried out his responsibilities regarding worship. In Luke, in chapter 2, if you're following. It's interesting, all these things. It says, when the 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given by the angel. And when the days of their purification according to the law of Moses were finished, they, meaning Mary and Joseph, brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it was written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male will be dedicated to the Lord to offer sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And then in verse 27, guided by the Spirit, he entered Simeon. He entered the temple complex, and the parents brought in the child to perform for him what was customary under the law. So they were in the temple. They were doing these things. They were faithful in their worship. They were doing the things God asked them to do. And we have to ask questions. Do we lead our families? Do our families go to church and study the Bible as a result of our initiative as parents, as husbands, as fathers? It should be our lead. And if you're without husband or without a father, then it does come upon you to continue. But Joseph led his family. I hope you lead yours. So many, doing the roses share, and we see so many families, well, you call them families, without men. You know, it's a single mom raising kids. And my hat's off to these women. I mean, you know, doing a tough job alone, many of them. And that's not what God intended. He intended father and a mother working together, raise these kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But the reality is, there's a ton of single parents. And there's some single men out there. I get that. But it's way more of the women are doing it than the men. But we need to lead. And gentlemen, we have a responsibility to our families that God gave us. And we need to lead our families as Joseph did. And then lastly, Joseph was faithful in his service. In the same passage in Luke, in verse 41, it says, every year his parents traveled to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom of the festival. So, for 12 years, they went every year. They went every year faithfully to the Passover. They were faithful in their service to God. And the question for us is, are we faithful? Faithfulness is a big deal to God. You know, there's much written in the Scripture about faithfulness. I love the one thing that it says, if you're faithful in a small thing, then you'll be faithful in a bigger thing. But if you're unfaithful in a small thing, you'll be unfaithful in a bigger thing. And that's paraphrased. It's not exactly word for word, but The point being, so many times people, and especially young people that I work with, they want to be given like the big job first. And they can't even get out of bed on their own to get the little job on time, you know? Oh, but if I had this job, I would do it. No, if you're not going to do it with the small thing, you're not going to do it with the big thing. I've seen, you know, too many times. Be faithful in the small things. The Bible says if you do, you know, the bigger things will be added to you. You want to really serve the Lord? I mean, do you really want God to do some big things in your life? Most Christians would say, yeah, I want Him to do big things in my life. Well then, be faithful with small things. So many people are wanting, people say, oh, I want, you know, God to show me, you know, what He wants for my life. And I'm like, because there's so many things that are not in the Word. Okay? Like, you know, it's not in the Word. Like when I was in Peru, you know, there's nothing in the Bible that says, thou shalt quit thy job. Okay? You know, it didn't say that. That was something that was born out of a relationship. So not all of God's will is in this book, but there's a ton of God's will in this book. And when people say, I want this big, you know, oh, I want to do something really big for God. And I'm like, well, are you already doing the things you already know are God's will? Things that there's no, you know, some people say, oh, I don't really understand. You know, some of it's hard. Yeah, some of it is hard to understand. Some of it's so hard to understand, there's theologians that argue different things forever. They've been arguing about it. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the things that are pretty much black and white. What does he say? If you don't forgive as you have been forgiven, then I'm going to curse you? So how's your forgiveness level? Do you forgive? It's God's will. We should love our neighbor as ourselves. That's God's will. Are you doing that? Now, hey, I get it. Not everybody's as lovable as others. But we should love our neighbor as ourselves. That's God's will. We should be willing to forgive just as we have been forgiven. That's God's will. We should have mercy. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. You want mercy in your life? You need to be merciful. You want God to have mercy on you? You better have mercy on others. You know, those are things that are very plain. You know, talking about relationships, raising children, how we handle our money. Those things are pretty clear in the Word of God. Are we faithful in those things? And then you know what? When you start doing, not perfect, just faithful. And when you start being faithful, it's funny. It's amazing how God brings other stuff. And it gets so rewarding and so big and it's so beyond you. You know, it's just, it's crazy how it works. I mean, well, I'm sure the last thing on Joseph and Mary's mind would be they would be raising up God as a child. How big was that? But God chose a couple of faithful people to do it. And, you know, obviously we will never have that task because that was a one-time deal. But what is it that God wants to do in your life that is something that you never thought of? Man, I have done so many things that I never thought I would ever do. It's amazing. And I'm not patting myself on the back. It's all Him, folks. It's all Him. It's just a matter of just saying, I'm willing to do it your way, basically, and be faithful. That's the verse. When it comes to the story of Jesus, much has been made of the fact that God chose Mary as the woman through whom Jesus would come into the world. But a point that often goes unnoticed is that God chose Joseph to be Jesus' earthly father. This was the man God chose to be responsible for Jesus' training and growth, the man that was to set the example for Jesus to see. You know, we are all examples. People are looking at you. I remember in New Mexico, I was kind of an assistant pastor. I mean, we didn't have the official title, but I preached a lot and did a lot of things there while I was working at Sears. The whole time. I did all these things. And I had a young man came up to me. His name was Jackson. And he was married, had a couple of small kids. And he had always wanted to be in the ministry. Always, always, always. Wanted to be a full-time youth leader. That was his kind of his dream, if you want to call it that. And it was never working out. Never working out. Never. He was working for... Gas and oil is big in the area of New Mexico where we live, and he worked the oil fields. And so he'd come in from the oil fields, and then in his time on weekends or in the evenings or whatever, he would minister. And I remember he came to me one time and he thanked me. And I'm like, he goes, "I just want to thank you for your example." I go, "What are you talking about?" Because he was in youth and I was, doing totally other stuff. I never did anything with him. It was just, nice guy, good guy, but never did anything with him. And he just says, "No, I just want to thank you. You were such an example to me because you're here. You are working what you do at Sears, and then you come and you preach and you teach and you work on the ranch and you do the things you do. And it helped me to accept where God has me." And I never knew he was looking at me in that way. And you know what? You got people looking at you. Could be people in the church, could be people at home, could be your neighbor, could be, regular business contact of some sort. We are an example for people, folks. God wants to use us as light and salt to a world that's in darkness and thirsts for something good. The example. Joseph was the example God chose for Jesus to see. And you know what? God has chosen you to be an example for someone to see. I guarantee it. I guarantee, I don't know who that someone is, but I guarantee it. Someone's looking at you. He learned what it meant to be a man. A father that had the task. Can you get this? You ever think about this? He had the task of raising a child that never did anything wrong. Think about it. He was without sin, right? Jesus was without sin. Never talked back to his mom or dad. Obeyed perfectly every time. And he had to do this while raising other children that did do things wrong. How the temptation must have been to say, "Why can't you be like your brother? Can't you be more like your brother?" They're all tearing up the house and Jesus is doing the dishes. Kids are beating up on each other, and Jesus is out feeding the goats. Man, that must have been a temptation. That was a balancing act that nobody else in the history of the world has ever had to deal with. No wonder his brothers resented him. I mean, you kind of get that drift. How they resented him, Goody two-shoes, Oh, yeah, it's Jesus. He never does it. He never gets a spanking. He never gets yelled at. He never loses privileges. He never gets time out. You know? Oh, you're picking on me again. Why don't you do something? Well, he never does anything wrong. What can I say? Man, that's a tough situation. That had to be the hardest parenting situation ever. Except for when they left him in Jerusalem. You ever think about that? Remember this story? He's 12 years old. They go to Passover. And then they get 3 days out. I think it was 3 days. Or it might have been a day out. I don't remember. I'm shooting from the hip now. But a day out. And then they get together and they're like, where's Jesus? Oh, I thought he was with you. Oh, well, I thought he was with you. We lost God. Think about it. They lost God. Where's he at? He thought he was with you. Thought he was with you. We better get back. We got to get back to Jerusalem. The God of the universe has entrusted us with his child and we lost him. And I think it took him 3 days to find him in Jerusalem. They finally went to the temple. And he's like, didn't you know I was be about my father's business? I mean, man, what a unique situation. But here's the deal. Joseph was an imperfect man who God chose to raise, mentor, and instruct the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, God himself in the flesh, an imperfect man. You know, it's kind of like dealing with this word. You know, this is a perfect word. And I'm an imperfect person, but I try to tell you about this perfect word every week. And I can't live up to it myself. And I understand that. And you know what? You have this same perfect word yourself. And then you have people you got to talk to and share with. And you're not perfect either. But you know you can do it, just like Joseph did it. And Joseph did what God called him to do, and you know what? You can do what God's called you to do. And you don't have to be perfect, because you can't be, but you can be faithful. And you can be humble. And you can accomplish what God wants to accomplish through you. It can be done. So the question becomes, does something need to change in you, in me? Because none of us are perfect. And, you know, we all probably got something in our head right now. You know, yeah. Okay, God, you just brought it to my mind. Got to do something with it. Does something need to change? Remember, God chose you. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God chose you. Bible says there's none that seek after him. You know, I remember before I got saved, I wasn't looking for God. Oh, I believed there was a God. I had that much, but I wasn't looking for him. I wasn't trying to please him. I wasn't studying his word. I was living my life. I was making decisions based on what I wanted to do. But then there came that day that God got a hold of me and chose me. And all that happened because God reached out to us. And that's why we celebrate this time of year, this day we call Christmas, which we don't know what day Jesus was born, actually. We don't know. But we take this day and say, this is the day we're going to commemorate it because it's important, see? It had to happen, otherwise we were doomed. If God didn't do it, it wasn't going to get done because we can't work our way to heaven. You can't work your way in there. You can't please God enough. You can't pay the price for what you've done. It's impossible. So God had to do it for us. He chose you and me. And that's why we should be so thankful. We should have joy in our heart. Because you know what? He doesn't choose everybody. You read it. It's in there. And I'm so glad he chose me. I'm so glad he chose you. And he chose you, and that's the start. You know, it's kind of like getting picked on a team. Play baseball, play football, whatever, and you choose sides, and you pick, then you got your team. Well, you don't just stop there, do you? Oh, I'm on the team, cool. No, you're expected to play. You're expected to participate. You're expected to fulfill a role of some sort. And you know what? God has chosen you. And there is something he wants to do with you. To influence other people. Starts maybe in your family, but then it goes from wherever and whoever and however. Are you willing? Just like, look what he put Joseph through, man. Hey, you got to go to Bethlehem. You know, you got to marry this woman that's pregnant and it's not your kid. You're going to marry her. Oh, now you got to go to Egypt. You got to run for your life. Go to Egypt. Oh, now you got to come back. Now you're going to move here. Now you got to take him to the temple. Now you got to do this. Got to do that. God's got things for you to do. The good news is there's blessing involved with it. He wants to use you. But at the same time, it's not. What did Jesus say? He says, my burden is light. You know, he gives us things to do, but Jesus carries the weight. We just have to obey. Just trust him. You do what you believe. The things that you do, those are the things you believe. God chose you. What an honor. What a great blessing that God chose me and he chose you. A lot of things from the life of Joseph there that pertains to us. The first thing, though, is knowing who you are. So we're going to have an invitation now. And the question now becomes, do you know who you are? And I believe everyone here does know who they are. And you are one of two people. You are either a child of the king, or you're not. You're a child of Satan. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees. He says, you're liars like your father. You're in one or the other. You either know the Lord as your father, or you are lost and you're condemned. That's the two places there is. That's the only two places there is. You have relationship with God or you don't. One or the other. Do you know who you are? If you don't know the Lord as your Lord and Savior, this is your opportunity to do this. It is as simple as asking him to forgive you. Admitting to him that you deserve the worst. Admitting to him, hey, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell. But praise God for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ that made a way for me to be adopted into the family of God. I can call him Father. Do you know who you are? Maybe you've been fooling yourself. You know, I fooled myself for a lot of years. Said I was cool, and I was not. But I praise God for never giving up on me. For the rest of us, okay, maybe you know who you are. Maybe you know you're a child of the King. What's God chosen to do in your life, with your life? Is there people in your life that you kind of know you should be talking to them and you haven't done it? The people that do come in contact with you, what kind of words and actions are they going to remember from having been in contact with you? For many of us, you know, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of standards do we have? What's our integrity like? Maybe we need to ask for forgiveness and take a step. God will forgive. He says, hey, if you humble yourself and ask Him to forgive you, He will. Are we faithful? Are we kind? Are we practical? Are we spiritual? These are all questions that only you can answer before God. To have every head bowed, every eye closed. Anybody here would say, Brother Mike, I have never asked God to forgive me. I've never admitted I was a sinner. I know that I am not, that I have not been adopted into God's family. Anybody like that? I've never done it. For the rest of us, how many would say, Brother Mike, haven't been as faithful as I need to be in some areas. Anybody like that? Faithfulness has been. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. I see that hand. How many would say, Brother Mike, I haven't been kind of teaching some people that have been under my charge. I've kind of not been doing that. Not been a good example in some areas. Anybody like that? God bless you. See those hands. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Listen, we're all sitting here. None of us is sitting here without issues. I guarantee it. How many would say, I don't always obey God. When I know He talks to me, and sometimes I have some problems with that. I don't obey Him as like I should. Anybody like that? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before You just humbly thanking You for Your mercy and Your grace. Lord God, we are aware of You. And Father, help us to see where it is You are wanting us to serve, to who You want us to influence, where it is we are to be at a certain time, Lord. Help us to have eyes to see that and ears to hear it, Lord. Lord, may we be like Joseph, that when he heard You, he acted. Help us to act in that exact same way. Lord God, help us to realize that there's people looking at us. Lord God, help us to be more like Jesus, even as You are seeking to perform that in our lives. Help us, Lord. We can't do it without You. It's Your power, Your way, Your will, Your plan, Your purpose, Your power. Thank You, Lord, for working in our lives. Lord, I pray for these that raised their hands, that You have touched their minds and hearts. You've brought something to their mind that they know needs to change or they need to do something with. And Lord God, I pray that You would give them courage. I pray, Lord, You give them strength. I pray You give them a plan. If it entails doing something differently, give them a plan, Lord. Lord God, empower them and bless them, Lord. Father, thank You for Jesus. Thank You for what He's done in our lives. Help us to consider Joseph and how it applies to us, that we may please You. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. Deal with God. Do not let this moment pass without dealing with what He has laid on your heart. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this time of year when you put into practice the plan that you had from the beginning. We praise you for becoming a baby and growing up in this world, Lord. You are so unique. You know exactly what we go through because you went through it yourself. And you can relate to us so perfectly. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for his birth. Thank you for the life he led. And thank you, Lord, for his death and resurrection through which we have forgiveness. And we have eternity. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.